Good morning and welcome to another edition of Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. I'm your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and joining me today is Jared Doss, my son-in-law, who preaches for the Winfield Church of Christ in Winfield, West Virginia. I'm glad that he's able to be here with us today and as we go through this study, and glad that you are as well as we continue our study through the Old Testament. This morning we're going to be in Psalms 98, 99, and 100, so you can be opening your Bible to there if you are have one handy. Hopefully you have a notepad as well. Take notes, study along, be as those noble Bereans. Search the Scriptures and make sure that the things that are being said are so. We want to start things off as we normally do, reminding you of what's going on in the Brotherhood that we have been made aware of, those things on the bulletin board. And what we have today, the Summer Youth Series of Northeast Texas continues tonight. And tonight is going to be at the New Boston congregation. And it is the theme, Jacob and the Angel. Kevin Colley will be bringing that lesson. If you need some information about that, more information, just give them a call at 430-200-7870, and then go ahead and make note, next week we will be at the University Congregation in Tyler. So this Northeast Texas Summer Youth Series continues, not just children's stories is the theme for the year. And then coming up after that, what do we have there as far as the South Haven Congregation? There we have the South Haven Lectures, the Power Lectureship 2017, July the 23rd through the 27th. So that's just around the corner. And this year's theme, the end of time, is going to start Sunday morning at 9:30 a.m. And it will run through Thursday, 8 p.m. And you can get information by giving them a call, 662-393-2690. For more information about that lectureship. Then we invite you to come and bring your young folks to be a part of our VBS. And this will be a Thursday, Friday, and Saturday event. And it is The Power of God is the theme. God's Creating Power is going to be on August the 10th, beginning at 6:30 and running through 8 p.m. With Kevin Colley. God's Fighting Power will be Andy Baker, 6:30 to 8 p.m. on Friday night, August the 11th. And then on Saturday, it'll start at 10:30 a.m. and run to noon, God's Saving Power with Carl McCann. There'll be for the young folks, but also at the same time, these lessons by Kevin Colley, Andy Baker, and Carl McCann are going to be for the adults. You can get information by giving us a call, 903-537-4129, and we'll get you a copy of that flyer if you didn't get one. Then a marriage, there's going to be a a marriage and family seminar. It's going to be at the Granberry Street Congregation in Cleburne, Texas. Now, this will be September 15th through the 17th, and John and Carla Moore are going to be conducting this marriage seminar. It's going to be sessions, combined sessions for everyone that John's going to be teaching. Then there's going to be some tools for relationship building for the ladies that Carla will talk to them, and for the men where John's going to address them. And so that is, again, September 15th through the 17th. You can get information by going to cleburne.church/family or /family seminar. In order to find more information about this and download this PDF flyer. And then finally, ladies, the 2017 Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat is scheduled for October 5th through the 7th. Now, I know it's a little ways out. It's at Camp Brady is where it is, Heart of Texas Camp in Brady, Texas. And the cost is $60 for the weekend. It's all inclusive. $30 if it's for ages 15 to 21. This is due with the registration form. So the registration is now open. And as of last week, they're already about a third full. So get those registrations in. Secure your spot at the Texas Ladies in Christ Retreat. You can give them a call, get information, 325-600-4143, or visit the webpage, and there you'll have the registration information at texasladiesinchrist.org. And that's all that we have on our bulletin board this morning. Maybe you are aware of some things that are going on. And remember, all you have to do is shoot us an email at mornings@tgrn.org. Again, that's mornings@tgrn.org. And we will do our best to get that information out. It would do us good if you would probably put on there for the bulletin board or some note like that so that we would see that, and we'll do our best to get it out. We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, we're going to start our study in these three Psalms. Stay with us. Morning and welcome back to Mornings for the Master here on the Gospel Radio Network. Again, I am your host this morning, Richard Rutledge, and I am joined by my son-in-law, Jared Doss. And Jared, glad that you are with us today. Appreciate you coming in and helping out on the program, and hopefully we'll have more opportunities in the future with this. We can hopefully we can get you kicked up and get your show going before too long. Well, we're going to take a look at Psalm 98 first. And in this psalm, it's a very, you know, short psalm. All three of these are relatively short psalms. We have Psalm 98 with nine verses, and we're going to look through this psalm. It's similar to Psalm 96. You know, Psalm 96 kicked things off, and it said, "Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song." Well, that's the way that this one does as well. And with it, it will introduce several thoughts as that was also in Psalm 96. In 96, though, it was pointing out the fact that God has revealed his salvation and made known his salvation to the nations around about, and he had made it known by means of or through the redeemed, but here he's going to make it known to the redeemed. And so we're going to see this. This psalm, this new song that they were to sing, there are specific instructions given. Now, some believe that this song would have been a song, or possibly a song, that was sung during the Feast of Tabernacles, or the Feast of Booths, commemorating the time that they were spent in those booths and where God had delivered. But we're going to note it. We're going to break this up into three sections of three verses. And so these first three verses, Jared, if you'd read them for us, and in that we're going to see the cause for praise. There is a cause for God to be praised, and it's mentioned in these first three verses.
Oh, sing to the Lord a new song, for he has done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm have gained him the victory. The Lord has made known his salvation. His righteousness he has revealed in the sight of the nations. He has remembered his mercy and his faithfulness to the house of Israel. All the end of the earth have seen the salvation of our God.
All right. The cause here that he mentions is the fact of what God has done. To sing this song, because he has done marvelous things by his strength, his right hand, his holy arm, he has gotten the victory. And with this victory, he has also made known his salvation, and there is this great deliverance. Now, you know, when we see the victory in Exodus 15, of the great deliverance, what were they done? What did they do? But they sang. You know, they sang the song of Moses about the victory that God had given, that he had made it known, and this deliverance would take place. This is even why we see the deliverance spoken of by Joseph. It would eventually point forward to the great Exodus that God would have. But remember, Joseph sold into slavery by his brothers. And he then tells them, he tells them in chapter 50 of the book of Genesis, but also in chapter 45 of the book of Genesis, he says, "Now, therefore, do not be grieved nor angry with yourselves that you sold me here, for God did send me before you to preserve life." In verse number 7, he says, "And God sent me before you to preserve a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance." Something that would come eventually. And now looking back, they're called to sing praise because of it. But notice verse number 3. He has remembered his mercy and his truth toward the house of Israel, and all of the earth have seen the salvation of our God. He has remembered this. Now, when we think about this idea of remembering, it points back even to the book of Exodus. And remember, in Exodus chapter 3, at the end of it, it says that during this time that the king of Egypt had died, and Israel was sighing and crying because of their bondage. In verse 24 of Exodus 2, "And God heard their groaning, and God remembered his covenant with Abraham, with Isaac, and with Jacob, and God looked upon the children of Israel, and God had respect unto them." It wasn't that God had forgotten, but God now revisited these people. And again, God has remembered his mercy and his truth. Well, what did God do? If we drop down to Exodus chapter 3, and there in verse number 7, "The Lord said, I have surely seen the affliction of my people, which are in Egypt, and I have heard their cry by reason of their taskmaster, for I know their sorrow, and I am come down to deliver them out of the hand of the Egyptians, and to bring them out of the land into a good land, a large and land flowing with milk and honey." And so he is going to deliver them. He has remembered them. And because of what God did, it was cause for praise. Now, God's choice of praise is seen in verses 4 through 6. The cause of praise, God the deliverer had delivered the people. So therefore, they should praise him. But God has a choice of how they praise him, and he is specific with it. Notice verses 4 through 6.
"Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the land, all the earth. Break forth in song, rejoice and sing praise. Sing to the Lord with the harp and the sound of a psalm, with trumpets and the sound of a horn. Shout joyfully before the Lord, the King."
All right, now here he is specific. God's choice of praise at this point in time. There are several things that he mentions with a specific nature, and that is sing. First of all, sing. But then sing, verse number 5, with the harp and the voice. And, verse number 6, with the trumpet and the cornet. Sing before the Lord. Now, when we look at this and what God has done there, he has given authorization of how they are to sing, a command. Now, doing so, he is very specific, just as he is very specific for us today. There are those who will go back to the Psalms and try to justify the use of mechanical instruments of music in the worship of God during the New Testament Christian age. And as we look, we know that we are no longer under that old law where these specific instructions are given and command. Because in Hebrews chapter 8, the Hebrew writer reminds us that there was a new covenant, Hebrews 8 and verse 13. And when he said a new covenant, he has made the first old. And now that which decays and waxes old is ready to vanish away. It vanished away, Hebrews chapter 9, verses 15 to 17, at the death of Jesus. Where it tells us when the new would go into effect. For this cause he, Jesus, is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is in force only after men are dead. Otherwise, there is no strength at all while the testator lives. Colossians 2 and 14 reminds us that he is blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it away, nailing it to his cross. And so we cannot appeal for the authority of use of instrumental music based upon what they did under the law of Moses, no more than we can appeal to the authority of the Old Testament under the law of Moses for animal sacrifices in our worship. That is part of the old. Under the new, God gave specific instructions of his choice of worship, just as he did even here in this psalm. Colossians 3:16 and Ephesians 5 and verse 19, both of these verses give us instruction concerning how we are to sing. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts as to the Lord. In Ephesians 5 and verse number 19, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now we have the specific instruction, God's choice, sing. Then in this psalm, verses 4 through 6, the choice of praise was sing and have the harp and the trumpet and the cornet. That is not so today. So we see in this psalm, Psalm 98, beginning, the calls for praise, God's choice of praise, and then finally, verses 7 through 9, the call to praise. They're called to praise, verses 7 through 9. Let's notice those.
Let the sea roar in all its fullness, the world and those who dwell in it. Let the river clap their hands. Let the hills be joyful together before the Lord. For he is coming to judge the earth. With righteousness he shall judge the whole world. And the people with equity.
All right. He says here's a call for praise now. because of all of this, here's what God has said. He had given calls. He has now given his choice, and now the call. Let the sea roar, and the fullness thereof, the world, and they that dwell therein. The floods clap their hands, the hills joyful together before the Lord. The great call is that even creation shouts praise to the Creator, to the Deliverer, to God. And so, why? Why is this praise called for? Well, because, again, what God has done. Because He comes to judge the earth. And He will judge the earth with righteousness. He shall judge the world and the people with equity. And we see that God will and plans to judge the world, and He will do it according to truth. And He says, or Romans chapter 2 and verse number 4, do you despise the riches and His goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, knowing that the goodness of God leads to repentance? He is the one who will judge us according to His truth, John 12 and verse 48. His truth is the Word, John 17 and verse 17. And He is going to do this judgment, or bring about this judgment, in that day. And He's going to do it without respect of persons. Psalm 98. Let's move on to Psalm 99 now. And Psalm 99 and Psalm 100 really both have a similar theme, and they are going to talk about God's holiness and declare how holy He is. The Bible speaks and declares the holiness of God in numerous ways in many places. In Exodus 15, in verse number 11, who is like you, O Lord, among the gods? Who is like you, glorious in holiness? Or 1 Samuel 2 and verse number 2, no one is holy like the Lord, for there is none beside you, nor is there any rock like our God. Or Revelation 15 and verse 4, who shall not fear you, O Lord, and glorify your name, for you alone are holy. And so God is holy, and those who belong to Him must also be holy. In Exodus 19 and verse number 6, he says, and you shall be to me a kingdom of priests, a holy nation. And that's exactly what we as the New Testament church are. This royal priesthood, peculiar people, a holy nation. And because of that, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 15, but as He who has called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct, for it is written, be holy, for I am holy. So the holiness of God is our theme as we go through these. And notice this Psalm 99, and looking at this psalm, it declares several things in these nine verses. Let's go through here, and let's notice the first five verses as we begin, and we see that God in heaven is reigning, and He is the one who rules.
The Lord reigns. Let the people tremble. He dwells between the cherubim. Let the earth be moved. The Lord is great in Zion, and He is high above all the peoples. Let them praise your great and awesome name. He is holy. The king's strength also loved justice. You have established equity. You have executed justice and righteousness in Jacob. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at His footstool. He is holy.
So this first division here, again, pointing to the holiness of God and reminding us that it is He who is reigning and the one who rules. We see that the Lord reigns, and let the people tremble. It is not a casual thing to approach the holy God. Some people, I think, have lost sight of this very thing. when we come before God to worship and to praise Him, it is not a casual thing. Let the people tremble. Notice where it says He is. He is between the cherubims. And let the earth now be moved. If we drop down to verse number 3, let them praise. Now, the King James gives us the great and terrible name. You know, that word terrible, the way that we use it today, is not a positive word. But it talks about the awe-inspiring strength and power. And so the New King James gives us awesome name, and that's exactly what it is. It is a name that is awesome. He has the power. He has the strength. He has the great authority. And that's what it even speaks of here, that He is the one who rules, who reigns with all supreme power and authority. He has executed that power and shown it in verse number 4, and because of that, we must worship at His footstool. It reminds me of Isaiah chapter 6, where Isaiah is blessed to be able to have a vision of the throne room. It says in Isaiah chapter 6, beginning in verse 1, that it was in the year that King Uzziah died, he said, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and His train filled the temple, and He stood above the seraphims, and it stood the seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two He covered His face, and with two He covered His feet, and with two He did fly. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of His glory. And the posts of the door were moved at the voice of Him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. And then I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It is a fearful thing to come before the presence of an awesome God. Let the people tremble. Let the earth be moved. And so exalt Him and fall at His footstool. Now remember, it says, then after he has seen this, then flew one of the seraphims in unto me, and having a live coal in his hand, which he had taken with the tongs from off the altar, and he laid it upon my mouth and said, This has touched your lips, and your iniquity is taken away, and your sin is purged. He was able to approach and be in proximity to the throne of God because of the removal of his iniquity, and he is brought into fellowship, as too we are through Christ. Now, he also, just a note here, when he says that we are to worship or fall and worship at his footstool, for he is holy. All of the earth is God's footstool. Remember Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 35 in the Beatitudes that Jesus, or there in the Sermon on the Mount that Jesus spoke, he says, Do not swear by the earth, because it is his footstool. And there all the earth is his footstool. Let's read the remainder of this psalm now, verses 6 through 9.
Moses and Aaron were among his priests, and Samuel was among those who called upon his name. They called upon the Lord, and he answered them. He spoke to them in the cloudy pillar. They kept his testimonies and the ordinance he gave them. You answered them, O Lord our God. You are to them God who forgives, though you took vengeance on their deeds. Exalt the Lord our God and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy.
Again, now we see before the fact that God is reigning and he is the one who rules, but now the worship of that one who reigns. And he reminds us of those who have gone before: Moses, Aaron among his priests, Samuel, and all they of them have called upon the Lord, and he answered them. That we have this ability to be able to call upon God, and it is a privilege to be able to do so. We know that God hears the prayers of the righteous. James chapter 5 and verse number 16, the effective, fervent prayers of the righteous man avails much. We see, even in Philemon, as verse number 22, Paul, writing to this brother, in telling him this, that he knows that he's a righteous man. Because he says, prepare also for me a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. The effective, fervent prayers of a righteous man avails much. God hears and God heard. He answered them. And he also spoke with them. He spoke unto them from the cloudy pillar. And they kept his testimonies and his ordinances that he gave them. God said it. They did it. But there was this communion, this fellowship that was there. He answered them, and he is also the God who forgave them. He forgave them. So therefore, exalt the Lord, the call again, exalt the Lord our God, and worship at his holy hill, for the Lord our God is holy. 1 Peter 1, 15 and 16 again. The fact is, God is holy. We must also maintain and strive to be holy, for he is holy, and worship in his holy hill. Worship within the church, God's kingdom today. Let's look. Notice now, in the time that we have left, Psalm 100. It is the shortest of these three psalms that we're going to look at, but it is a familiar psalm with so many. Psalm 100 is one that, Jared, as you said, you used to have it memorized. You know, it was one of those. It was the first scripture that I ever recall memorizing, probably when I was six or seven. It was the summer between first and second grade. I'd gone to a VBS and had to memorize this psalm. And so it is one that is familiar with many people, but there is a lot of information for us in this psalm. And as we do, let's go through these five verses, and let's just note a few things as we make our way through it. The first is, we have this call here again to make this noise, to make this singing as we approach a holy God. Let's notice just the first two verses. A joyful noise to the Lord.
Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing.
And so the call again, just as we saw earlier, is the idea to sing and to come. If we look in Psalm 66 and verse number 1, it basically is an exact same thing. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. We look at Psalm 95. And he gives us a little more information as well. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. And as we noted already in Psalm 98, in verse number 4, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all the earth. Make a loud noise and rejoice and sing praise. He is calling for us to make these songs of joy. Who is he calling for? He's calling for all the lands to do this. In Romans chapter 14, Paul refers back to Isaiah 45, verse 23. For he says, for it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. All ye lands, all the lands and all the nations, serve the Lord with gladness. Now, we ought to be a glad people if anyone's a glad people, and we ought to be happy. The psalmist would remind us in Psalm 122 in verse number 1, I was glad or happy when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. And because of that fact, we, verse number again, serving the Lord, serving him with gladness. John 12 and verse 26, Jesus said, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. And if any man serve me, him will my Father honor. There is this close proximity to God when we serve him and come before his presence with singing. Now, he continues in verses 3 and following through the remainder, reminding us that we are entering into those gates. Again, come before his presence with singing, but now we enter his presence. Verses 3 through 5.
Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations.
Now, when we note this here, know that the Lord, he is God. God is not man. He is God. Hosea chapter 11, verse number 1, for I am God and not man, the Holy One in the midst of you, and I will enter into the city. God is not man. Now, sometimes men want to make God like them instead of making themselves more like him. And so they change that. But understand, he, the Lord, is God. And why? Because it is he who has made us. The creation yells for the fact of God. For Genesis 1 and verse 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He created man and woman. It is God who has created us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and we are his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture. Not only, notice something as well, not only does he own the sheep, but he owns the pasture where the sheep are. We are his sheep. Jesus reminds us of that very fact. In John chapter 10, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Drop down to verses 27 and 28 of John chapter 10. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. We are his people, we are his sheep. And as his sheep, he says, my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. That is even a characteristic of those who follow Christ, the meaning of even the word Christian, one who follows him. In verse 4, we are to enter those gates, and we are to do so with, first of all, thanksgiving. Thankful unto God. That was one of the problems there in Romans chapter 1, when these individuals who in times past knew God, but they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, it says, because they wanted to continue in sin. But it says, verse 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, Neither were they thankful, but became vain in their imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. These individuals were individuals who had forgotten even how to be thankful, entering into his gates with thanksgiving and into his court. We are allowed not just inside the perimeter, inside the gate, but into the court of his presence. There is fellowship here with God. And we see that 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse number 9, God is faithful, by whom you were called unto fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. We have communion or fellowship even as we partake the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians 10 and verse 16, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is this not the communion with the blood of Christ, and the bread we break communion with the body of Christ? John in 1 John 1 and 3 reminds us that our fellowship, he said, this which you have seen, we have seen and heard, declare we to you, that you also may have fellowship with us, and truly our fellowship is with the Father and with his Son, Jesus Christ. We have fellowship. Now, there are perimeters to this fellowship. If we look over in 2 John verses 9 through 11, whosoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God, but he that abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. We have this fellowship as long as we maintain it by our choice. And God's not the one who would walk away. We would have to be. And so transgressing his teaching would fail that fellowship. We have this fellowship with him by being in his courts. We enter into his courts with praise. Be thankful. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Being thankful unto God for all that he has done. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse number 15. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise unto God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. This singing of praise with thanksgiving before God and to God. In Ephesians 5, in verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And also in Colossians 3, in verse number 17, whatsoever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by him. And so we are able to enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, and therefore be thankful and bless his name. Why? Verse number 5. For the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Remember Jesus, when they had called him good teacher in Matthew chapter 19 and verse number 17, he said, why do you call me good? There is none good but one, that is God. If thou wilt enter into life, keep the commandments. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. His mercy is everlasting and his truth endures. The truth from the Psalms all the way till now endures. What is the truth? Jesus in the Lord's Prayer prayed that we would be sanctified through your word, for your word is truth. So the word of God is truth, and your truth will endure. In John 8 and 32, the benefits of that truth, that word, in John is said to those disciples that believed in him, if you continue in my word, you're my disciples indeed. But he said, and you shall know the truth, John 8 and 32, and the truth shall make you free. That's again what Paul would state. about the gospel. It's that power of God to make us free. Romans chapter 1 and verse number 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." He is not ashamed because God's word is powerful. God's word endures. When I read Romans 1 and verse 16, I think about that idea of being ashamed. Paul told Timothy, there's no need for you to be ashamed. Give diligence, study to show yourself approved to God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know what? Never be ashamed. But why was Paul not ashamed? Well, back up to verse number 15. Because Paul was ready. "For I am, so as much as in me is, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you who are at Rome also." He was ready. He was prepared. As Peter says in 1 Peter chapter 3, when he says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you the reason of hope that is in you with meekness and fear." But what was it that maybe motivated Paul to be so ready? Well, back up to verse number 14. "I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Because when you look around and see your fellow man and the condition they are in, and what God has blessed us with is being able to have our past sins forgiven, we want others to have the same. I'm indebted to them to share the gospel, the power of God, the word that endures forever, the truth that endures for all generations, to share it with them, so that they may know the truth and be set free from the bondage of sin. Endures for all generations. If we continue, Jesus would say in Matthew chapter 24, in verse number 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." That word that will endure is the word that will come forth on judgment, the standard by which God will judge this world. Jesus said in John chapter 12, in verse 48 and 50, "He that rejects me and receives not my words has one that judges him. The word which I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day." But notice what he says. That word that endures for all generations. This is what our psalm tells us. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. And his truth endures to all generations. The word of God. "For I have," this is what Jesus says about this word that will judge him. John 12:49 now. "For I have not spoken of myself, but my Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." The fact is that this word that God has blessed us with to be able to have is the standard by which we will be judged. And the judgment is coming. As Psalm 99 had pointed out, that God will execute judgment. The promise is given. And even as sure as the resurrection is, as sure the judgment will be. Because Acts chapter 17 and verse number 30 tells us the times of ignorance God winked at, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. Why? Verse 31, "Because he has appointed a day in which he will judge the world in righteousness." The word of God is righteous. "In righteousness by that man whom he has ordained." And here, listen to what he says. "Wherefore he has given assurance unto all men that he has raised him from the dead." He will return, John 14, verses 1 through 6, and when he returns, judgment will come. He will judge by the word that endures forever and ever. So when we look at these psalms, Psalm 98, 99, 100, we have the great message from just a few verses. And hopefully they could be of benefit to you today. Well, we have run out of text and have are running out of time. Jared, thank you for being with us today. Hopefully that you can be back again. Hopefully not too long. We can get you to kick a program off on the network and have that going. But today, our listeners have plenty of listening opportunities. Just a little while, you're going to have the good news today with Jim Dearman. It kicks off at 11, followed by Reflections Upon the Precious Book Divine. There with Rafael Ramirez and Rick Popejoy and the crew out at San Angelo. You will be of great benefit to listen to that, tune into that live show, be able to get in the chat box and visit with them and be a part of that. But then also there are opportunities throughout the day, this evening, many different programs. Maybe, as I challenged you before, find a program on the schedule. Go to the schedule box there on the webpage. Pull it up. Hit that PDF again. It'll increase in size where you can read it really well. Find a program that you haven't listened to yet. Tune into it. Give them a shot. And I know that you'll be glad that you did. Now, most of these are also on the on-demand section. You can do the very same thing right there. Give them a test run, and then start listening to them as they broadcast. Well, until next time, we hope that you have a great and blessed day. But don't forget, tomorrow morning, 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, Mornings for the Master, here right here from Mount Vernon, Texas, with Ryan Smithy, as he will continue in Psalms. Until next time, we hope that your day is great.
You've been listening to Mornings for the Master on the Gospel Radio Network. Remember to join us each weekday morning from 9 to 10 a.m. Central Standard Time or catch the replay at 9 p.m. Central Time. You can also contact us at mornings@tgrn.org if you have any questions we can help you with or if you have events you would like to submit to our bulletin board or just with general feedback about the program or network. We would love to hear from you. As we've had opportunity to spend time with the Master this morning in His Word, let's remember His words in Luke 6:46, when He said, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" He goes on to say in verse 47 and 48, "Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show to you whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it was founded upon a rock." Let's show the wisdom of that builder and go now to live for the Master.